Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 18th of September, recording at 9:50 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights very quickly. And Asian stock markets were pretty well all down, as were European stock markets for the most part, although declines were paired. And Wall Street closed with blockbuster gains, virtually offsetting yesterday's declines. Dow up over 400 points, S&P up 50, NASDAQ Composite up 100. That was the biggest gain, 4.78%. More on that, obviously, in a moment. Long-dated government bonds weaker. Treasuries off 1.25 points as I speak. That's long bond. And what else do we have here? Precious metals. Earlier in the day, precious metals had romped higher. Silver getting up to 1306 and a half. Gold bullion getting up to 910.59. They did that on a weak dollar, which then rallied. The precious metals came off. The dollar is a little bit easier as I speak, particularly against the Antipodean currencies. Now, gold, after rallying up to over 910, is currently at 8.50 and 50 cents. So, you know, we've got some wheeled action in here, to put it mildly. Crude had pushed up to 102 and a quarter, but fell back to 98. And most of the other agricultural commodities were weaker. Or most of the agricultural commodities were weaker. Okay. So what's going on here in this dramatic environment? Well, the big news story in here today was the concerted central bank action to boost markets. And that led to, and this is something that I've been saying was absent and that we would need to see to put a floor under stock markets. Well, we had plenty of concerted action in here today. Chances are good that we will need to see more of that. But it is an important step psychologically in the right direction. And it's more than just psychological, of course. They've thrown a lot of liquidity into the markets. And then we have had measures reintroduced by Mr. Cox of the SEC, reluctantly, no doubt. He's been dragging his heels on this all along, regarding short selling and concerning disclosure. The FSA took a bolder step and banned financial share short selling for the rest of the year. That's quite interesting, and I would assume that produces quite a good rally in UK financial shares tomorrow. Now, so this is really quite interesting, and we have had a lot of climactic activity. Recently, we had the VIX index soaring above 50 at one point today, and I should mention that Wall Street had opened with gains, 150 points or so on the Dow, or achieved fairly early on. Then it didn't quite reverse that, but certainly dropped, I think, about 100 points in the Dow before then surging towards the close on all this sort of short selling news and talk of additional coordinated activity by central banks. Now, that big spike up on the VIX index has usually been a pretty reliable indicator overall. And I think I've been saying that the activity was starting to look climactic, and there's certainly been a grim mood in the market, one of palpable fear. It hasn't been nice, has it? And a lot of anxiety felt by all of us. So that is often a good contrary indicator. And I've seen enough to say that we are either at or very, very close to certainly a low, another climactic low. But this would be the fifth one that we have seen since this decline started. You remember there was August 2007, January this year, then March this year, then July this year, and now another one here and now. Could it be the low? Yes, it could, but it would take a lot of other positive developments to confirm that. Now, I'd be a little bit more certain if we'd had a bigger acceleration on the downside. And because we've only just broken clear on a number of indices of those of from of those July lows, and some markets are still up above them. So one it would be irresponsible of me. I would just be guessing, and I'm not in that game in terms of trying to be a hero, the first one to call the bottom of that market. But I'm very happy to say that this appears to be a low. And on the question of could it be the low, every climactic sell-off that we get in this bear market can only bring us closer to the low. So let's watch. It'll be interesting. Meanwhile, we've had some good signals pointing out the big overextension in the precious metals late last week and earlier this week, and some big recoveries that people have participated in. We now have really quite we have certainly scope for some technical rallies here in stock markets. Traders may wish to participate in those. Investors who are thinking of putting capital in should do so, as I've said before, only incrementally. And if one's going to do it, it's better to do it sooner rather than later, you know. And what I'm saying is, don't wait for a 3 week rally to occur and then saying, well, then say, well, I better jump on board. All along, I've advocated buy on the weakness, and I wouldn't chase these precious metals up today either, because although they were way overextended on the downside and got terrific, really startling bounces. I mean, we'd never seen anything like it. That's not quite true. Silver, as it accelerated up to its last high, was getting huge moves. But well, I don't know. I'm not sure it went up at $2.50 in a day. I doubt that very much, as it did yesterday. So some unprecedented action here. Certainly, gold's was. But they will need more support building overall. Still a very nervous environment. We can't be completely sure that the global deleveraging is over. So there are lots of factors here, lots of cross currents here. And, you know, people are hunkered down in their foxholes, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be charging out and running over the walls as in a World War I film, Battle of the Somme. They're not going to be doing that immediately. So they'll look around, let the dust settle, kick a few tires, that sort of thing. Okay, what about these commodities overall? As sentiment improves in stock markets, I would expect sentiment to improve in the industrial commodities at least. The agricultural commodities, some of them, such as corn and soybeans, I suspect fundamentals of poor crop conditions in the U.S. can justify higher levels, but they can't. That won't happen against the background of global deleveraging and a strong dollar, but it could easily happen if we get a pause, a lull, at least in that global deleveraging. The difficult thing about that is it's very hard to know when the global deleveraging has actually been completed. But because one would only see it in time, in that we would see the base developments and we would see the beginning of upward trends for a number of asset classes. Obviously, we're not there yet. But things are changing very, very rapidly in here, and one doesn't want to hold on to too many hard and fast views. Big thing to highlight, though, is the extreme bear sentiment. The soaring VIX index, the coordinated central bank activity, these are very positive developments. And something I mentioned before also is that look at all the things that were going right. Not the banking situation, but that has been greatly aggravated by this marauding short selling activity that we've seen, which is now being curtailed. So that has made turned a very difficult situation into something considerably more alarming and damaging economically. I've written about this again today and did so yesterday, so I won't go on about that point. But it had led to a breakdown in the market mechanism, and we've seen that in here again today, where we've lost orderly markets, and that of course deters participation by all but the more aggressive traders. So my point is that I think that financial crisis will look less dire as that aggressive short selling is reined in. And then we've got the inflation problems are really just sliding into the background, really. I mean, policymakers, they're always behind the curve here, and they're still looking at the headline figures, but those are lagging indicators, and you are seeing lower prices, even in the supermarkets, because people have been seeking out bargains and buying less, and understandably so, and prices had been ramped up a whole lot, and now some of those are coming down as these firms compete for business. Petrol prices are coming down now, and they should come down more, but it often takes time for that to happen. So the least of central banks' problems right now is inflation. Therefore, I think we will get not only more concerted, coordinated central bank activity, but I think we'll get more monetary expansion. And I wrote today, I was using the fire and ice analogy, and you could say that at the very beginning of this decade, we had ice over fire. In other words, the if ice being the deflationary pressures and fire being the inflationary pressures. So at the beginning of the decade, we had the ice over fire and a lot of talk and fear of deflation. And you remember Bernanke's helicopter speeches, and then all the pumping and pumping of liquidity, and then China was exporting deflation, and therefore central banks felt that they could err on the side of overexpansionary monetary policies, nobody wanting a strong currency. These are all discussed extensively by myself and by Owen in the comment and in the audios, and saying that those efforts were building up inflationary pressures, and people were saying, no, you're not going to have that, and still much more of a deep deflation risk. Veteran subscribers will remember all that. Those debates were very strong going into 2005. We still had people talking about these big deflationary forces. Well, then finally, inevitably, we saw the outburst of inflation, and that it was really much more financial market inflation, asset market inflation, than wage inflation, but there was inevitably some of that as well. It spilled over into wages. So that put us into the fire over ice category. And we are now moving back into the ice over fire category. So central banks, as I said at the beginning of this little discussion, that central banks, the least of their problems is inflation right now. So again, we can see some lower interest rates and more coordinated activity. There is another paradox, though. If stock markets were to do too well in the short term, then central banks would go back to what they were doing before and saying that risks are balanced and so on. So these things are complicated and they take time to play out, as you've seen before and as you know. Now, another bell-ringing signal here for stock markets was the fact that U.S. Treasuries moved into a negative yield yesterday, only briefly, obviously, but basically the people who were buying U.S. Treasuries, short-term Treasury bills, were saying, let me give you my money for the next 90 days. You don't have to give me back all of it, but just give me back the rest. You just give me back most of it, so you can take a little cut. That's pretty rare, isn't it? And of course, that's a fear indicator, as was the $80 or $90 rally in gold that we saw yesterday, and the additional surge in here today. That is most dramatic evidence of fear. And fear is what we get near bottoms of stock markets. Okay, what else to mention? I think that's pretty much covered it. I do expect the dollar to thrash around, but I think the dollar's rally is first. The rally, as we've been pointing out, had become quite overextended. Then it lost momentum rather dramatically. So we have seen a peak in the U.S. dollar. Could it be the peak? Yes, it could. But at the prudent thing to say at this stage is that we have seen a peak in the dollar of at least near-term significance. And I maintain that all the debt and potentially printing that the US government's going to have to do, and there's a little bit of a debate going on out there right now as to what will the dollar do? Will it just, I beg your pardon, what will the US do? Will it just sort of print and print and print because of all the bailouts and so on that are going on, and all the there are going to be all the entitlement programs and infrastructure developments that politicians are promising in the latter stage of the election campaign. So, are they be will they be issuing more debt, or will they be doing more money printing? Well, that's a tough call. We probably inevitably will see more of both. But right now, in this environment, I would say that they would be more keen to issue debt, A, because interest rates are so low. So they, I think quite sensibly, ought to be shoveling out as much debt as they can right now, because it'll cost them more later on. If you can get people to pay near zero interest rate on treasury bills, my God, let them have as much as they want. And so I think we'll get a lot of debt, and then I think they'll be a little bit more reticent on the money printing, largely because they've been reminded over the last 12 months just how inflationary that can be, and so they don't want that to blow up in their faces again very quickly. But either way, money printing or the additional debt, that's a headwind for the dollar. We will also see, though, is a situation as since we're back into an ice over fire environment, no other central bank's going to want a strong currency. We've seen plenty of evidence of that recently. Asian governments, for instance, feeling that they'd seen their currencies appreciate too much. And that, of course, is the underpinning for the monetary metals, gold, silver. And I wouldn't exclude platinum from that either. And I think that's pretty much it, folks. I don't want to abuse you by rambling on too long. I am on holiday tomorrow and next week. But Owen will be, of course, fully in the driver's seat here and continuing to cover this incredibly exciting, albeit nerve-wracking, drama that's unfolding in the markets. You're living through a very, very interesting part of history. Stay safe. Enjoy it if you can. Learn. And I'm sure that after all this turbulence, we will get to back to an environment of some nice, rhythmic, consistent trends once again. We're not quite there yet, though, are we? Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. Have a good week.